chapter, but we're going to deal primarily with one verse out of Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There are many times in the life of a person who seeks to honor the Lord that as you go through life, there are many discouragements. There are times when you're down and you're low. And many a time I've gone here to Romans chapter 5 and had my heart refreshed from verse 17. And it is verse 17 that we want to examine this morning by the grace of God. For we notice, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of His precious word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of Thy dear Son, we bow to thank You. We thank You for the grace of God that was given us in Christ Jesus. We thank You that You've given us the privilege of reigning in life. We know that death has reigned, but we have been given the exceeding riches of Your grace, the exceeding grace of God, and now it's our privilege to reign. Help us this morning as we open Thy word together. Give us, our God, to see what You have really provided for us as a people of God. And deliver us from anything that would detract. Enable us, our Father, to be able to rejoice in our spirits as we leave here because of our relationship to Thy dear Son. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 5 presents to us what we would call the truth of federal headship. When we speak of federal headship, we're speaking of the fact that one has represented all in their decision. Adam, through his work there in the Garden of Eden, it was a work of disobedience. It has affected the whole human race. Through the disobedience of Adam, the many offenses called forth the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord on the cross of Calvary, He chose for all in the new creation. You have the old creation represented in Adam. You have the whole of the new creation represented in Christ. Now, in this 17th verse, we have the fourth, much more, of Romans chapter 5. When you go through Romans 5, you'll notice those two words, much more. In verse 9, it's the much more of salvation from wrath. Much more. We are saved from wrath through Him. In verse 10, you have the much more of His keeping power because of His resurrection. Then, in verse 10 again, we have much more that is ours because Christ is the head of the new creation. And then, in verse 17, you have the much more of victory in the believer's life. God is a great transformer of lives. Let me say that again. God is a great transformer of lives. He turns slaves into kings. He deposes the dynasty of sin. He chains it in the dungeon. And He enthrones the dynasty of righteousness, as Hannah said in her great prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. He takes the beggar from the dunghill that He might set him upon among princes to inherit the throne of His glory. That's basically what verse 17 is saying to us. We, who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. But, as we notice that we have two men, federal headship, Adam deciding for the whole of the old creation, Christ deciding for the whole of the new creation. But we have two lordships in Romans chapter 5. Did you notice that? Two lordships, two men performed a certain deed. Adam's was an act of disobedience and sin. Christ's is an act of obedience and righteousness. But from these two acts came two lordships. From these acts came two lordships. The lordship of sin. Sin hath reigned. There's a crown on the head of sin. Sin hath reigned. Who reigns? Kings reign. And sin has reigned unto death. And we'll notice, and you notice that in the second verse, last verse of Romans 5. Sin has reigned unto death. But then there's not only the lordship of sin, but there is a lordship of grace. And these two lordships speak of two sovereignties. There's a sovereignty of sin and the sovereignty of Adam, but there's also the lordship of Christ and the sovereignty of Christ, which is far greater than that of Adam. Let us consider out of our text the lordship of death. Sin hath reigned. We who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. We will never appreciate the position that God has placed us in as kings unless we understand the contrast with the reign of sin. Sin hath reigned unto death. Ever since Adam, the human race has been subject to dissolution and decay. Everywhere around you, you find decay. Sin and death rule, and they rule as oriental despots. You know, when we think of an oriental despot, we're thinking of a king whose word was absolute. When we think of a king, you remember when you read through the book of Daniel, the decrees that the king made. Whoever doesn't fall down and worship the image that I have set up, you see, he's going to be killed. He's going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And sin and death reign as oriental despots. The expression, physician, heal thyself. tells us that even doctors lie, you see. And therefore we can talk of death. A doctor is unable to heal himself. I was telling my friend Tom this morning when we were discussing his daughter-in-law and also Karen. We were talking there and I said, you know, it's amazing when you are around doctors and nurses. Those in the medical profession, when anything little happens to them, they usually go to pieces. They go to pieces. They know too much. They know too much. I thank God I don't know so much. I know this, that it's my privilege as a child of God to reign in light by one man, Jesus Christ. Furthermore, when we think of this, we can speak of sin and death as an oriental tyrant. And we can speak of tyrant death. We can speak of dictator death. It dictates. We can speak of despot death. And they rule in our world. Wherever you go, you find death. But think with me now of the lordship of grace. Even though the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is irresistible, it is the power of constraining love. The constraining love of irresistible grace. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge. That if one died for all, then we're all dead, so that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died and rose again. You see, death rapes the soul. But the life of God enters into the heart in grace and by joyful consent. There's nothing I wanted more than to be saved, beloved. There's no decision I made more willingly than wanting to be saved. For grace had so worked in the constraining love of Christ in showing me who and what I am under the dominion of sin and what Christ has done in grace for poor sinners. I wanted it. And you know, that's a work of Christ in the soul. I wanted it. And those who love him love Christ because he first loved them. So we read in 1 John 4:9, we love him because he first loved us. You see, it is possible, beloved, for the child of God to enjoy and to be triumphant in that reign of Christ in his life, which he now has. As we read in Galatians 2 verse 20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, that tells me where I live the Christian life. I live it in the flesh. It tells me when I live the Christian life. It is not when I get to heaven. It is now, the life which I now live in the flesh. And it tells me how I live the Christian life. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now the great contrast here in Romans 5 is between the reign of a power over personalities and the reign of personalities over a power. Now get that. We have the reign of a power over personalities. Sin and death reign over personalities. Over everybody in Adam's race. But personalities reign over a power among the sons of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the first half of that statement, you have the reign of death. But in the second half, it doesn't say that life is reigning. It says that we are reigning in life. Now that's the thing that's important. Notice what it says. They who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign. They reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. When we think of two lordships, we usually think, well, if sin and death have reigned, then life should reign. Oh no, it's we reign in life. It's personalities reigning over a power. Wesley put it well. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the fathers clean. His blood availed for me. This is why a number of years ago, Christians rejoiced in the fact that they had been set free. They were now free to live the Christian life, and they'd sing from the heart, I've entered the land dearly bought by His blood. I've passed over Jordan, surrendered to God. Why? It was a genuine experience with them. They now realize that sin has reigned unto death, but now it's their privilege to reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. You see, man's free will died in Adam. Sin hath reigned unto death. Man is like Humpty Dumpty. He had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Adam together again. Now Adam and his descendants, they choose some things. You see, you can take a menu and you can choose whatever you like on the menu. But you can't choose which ones you're going to be allergic to. Some of those foods you may be allergic to and find yourself in the hospital. You see. Now you can decide whether you want to live in Dallas or in Seattle. You can decide whether you're going to live in Detroit or if you're going to live in Melbourne. You can decide that. You see. A man can choose all the unimportant things in life. But the important ones he can't choose. You can't choose the color. You never chose the color of your eyes. You see? You cannot choose your intelligent quotient. You can't even choose your personality. And worse than that, you can't choose God. Now, when we say that, oh, that riles some people. That makes them angry. That makes some people angry. But the heart of Bible teaching, beloved, is the incapacity of man coupled with the responsibility of man. We are responsible, but I can't do it. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And I need a work. And the Romans chapter 2, or chapter 3 and verse 12 says, there is none that seeketh after God. That shows you the terrible condition that man is in. But when a man is justified by faith, this is the good news. When a man is justified by faith, the thraldom of death is broken. It's broken. You see, God reverses the position of master and slave. I was under the dominion of sin and death. But now it's reversed. It's not a power over personalities. It is now personalities over a power. We were slaves of that dread master, sin and death. But now we reign in life. We are masters of life, and death is a slave to the Lord of life. That's why when you come to the close of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you have that great statement, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's ministering gifts to the church. Or life is ours. Or death is ours. Death is going to do the greatest thing for me that anybody can imagine. It's going to be my slave to usher me into the presence of God. You see, death is ours.
or things present he has, or things to come, all are yours.
They belong to us, and you're Christ, and Christ is God. When a man is born again, beloved, born from above, he receives new life in Christ, and God restores something to man in the new birth. He restores his free will. And that's the only way for free will to be restored. No, he doesn't give us the freedom to change our height or our race or other characteristics. But as regenerated men, we can choose for God. See, God's purpose in the Christian life is to train the Christian's free will. God's purpose in the Christian life is to train the Christian's free will until it is in complete conformity to the will of God. That's what it means in Romans 8, where it tells us that God is conforming us into the image of Christ. Now, we must not make the mistake that to think that the experience of some Christians is true Christian experience. The essence, beloved, of the Christian life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is not Christ forcing the individual. Oh no. Christ is dwelling within us. We are born from above. The reality of that birth is in our verse. We who have received abundance of grace. Oh, beloved, that's salvation from sin. And the gift of righteousness. That's what Christ made us in himself. We reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Our sins are removed. That's abundance of grace, beloved. All our righteousness, all the righteousness of God has been placed to our account. That is a gift of righteousness. Now, nothing is against us, and everything is for us. Isn't it great to be saved? We who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Now, let us apply these things very quickly. Application number one. When I understand that the prerogatives of royalty to reign is to be a king, that they are mine, and the right of royalty is given to me. We reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Then in the very center of my being, with all the life that I can muster in my thinking and in my acting, I am now able to take the throne that Christ has provided for me and reign. Reign in life. Now that I am to reign more abundantly, not only in heaven, but on earth now. Well, we sing the hymn, don't we? There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way and prepared us a dwelling place there. Oh, what, in the sweet by and by, we're going to reign. But that's not what our text says. Our text says we reign in life. We're on earth today, and we reign today through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, what an application to this great verse. What joy it brings to the soul. What blessing is available to me. Application number two. By saying that we reign in life, I'm not submitting I reign in life for Christ. Nor am I saying that Christ lives within me independent. That I live independent of Christ. Oh no, I'm not saying that. I am to reign. I am to appropriate the grace that has been given me and channel it
into every area of my life. I believed to be saved. And I am now asked, as it were, to receive that grace and channel it into every area of my life and reign. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What a blessing to realize that the free grace of God has so emancipated us that we now reign in life. It is not a power reigning over a personality. It is a personality, we, reigning over a power. You see the freedom of the will? I now have the ability, as a justified child of God, to do what is right. To choose right and not choose wrong. We reign in life. And by the way, that leads to application number 3. And this to me is the best. Now I can give Christ what his heart yearns for. Now I can give Christ what his heart yearns for. In other words, why did our Lord die? Why did our Lord die? He didn't die just simply to keep me out of the lake of fire. But I'm so glad that I'm not going there. I'm so glad that he did. But he died, beloved, that he could reproduce in me, now living on planet Earth, his resurrection life. That's what his heart yearns for. He yearns that his people will reproduce the life of Christ in reality. From my will, friends, which had been enslaved by sin, he has cut the shackles in order that those very chains that bound me, that he may use those very chains to bind sin and death, that I may reign in life. Now I'm going to change the words of the hymn. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can enter it now. With my will freed from sin, I can say, ex-king death, leave the throne, leave it now. That's the victory, beloved, that Christ has purchased for us on the cross on Calvary's Hill. May you and I enter into it day by day. And we don't need a grovel here below. But rather we can reign in life. I don't mean reigning like Jim Baker did. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing what we ought to do and living above sin and not being held under its dominion. For they who have received abundance of grace, and everyone who's saved has, and the gift of righteousness, everyone who is saved has received the gift of righteousness. We reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that there is a land that is fairer than day, and that by faith we can enter it now, because our wills are freed from sin. And we can say to ex-king death, leave the throne, leave it now, because we reign in righteousness by one man, Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you. We rejoice in thy sovereignness. We thank you for your grace. And now we pray, our God, that these people who are gathered here today may go forth with joy in their souls as they realize what they truly have in Christ. Bless us as we go to our respective places. Cause thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace to abide upon us. For the Lord Jesus' sake and glory, amen.